Go your own way.
Well, AJ went his own way, the way he wanted to. Up to New England. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. As we react to AJ, a Patriot, no longer an Eagle. What? And how are you feeling today? What's the emotion? Like, what hit you the most this morning? Is it more of the success the Eagles had and the success AJ had here, or the way this thing ended? 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phone lines, we had some callers that last segment talking about AJ and all the fallout of all this, his relationship with Jalen. Well, we got to get to this. So this morning, and this was pretty, I think this kind of is a great sign of how everyone except Hugh Douglas until last Thursday knew this trade was done already. Because
Kenny from Yaden.
And Kenny, yes. AJ recorded an interview with Maria Taylor of NBC Sports, and the interview was clearly done before this morning. They posted it this morning, but I mean, when they did this, I don't know, yesterday, over the weekend, Sunday, I mean, they were ready for this. And the interview, you can check it out if you want it on YouTube. It's good. But it kind of goes through his time here, his time when he first got here, a lot of different things here. But we have him talking about Jalen Hurts. When are we starting with the Jalen Hurts part of this?
Sure.
All right, let's start with him talking. And then we'll kind of spin back around to...
This is the one everyone wants to get.
Yeah, this is what he wants. So he was asked, and I think good question, and a good follow-up by Maria on this. Jalen Hurts, his relationship, where they're at, here it is.
One thing I hope we can put to bed, or you can speak to once and maybe not have to again, okay, is the relationship with Jalen Hurts. Because that seemed to become just a central point of focus and tension towards the end of your tenure as an Eagle. How would you describe your relationship right now?
Not as close as we once were. And I believe that's fine. It's like there's no bad blood. There's actually still a lot of love. I love him. I love him to death. I want him to succeed and accomplish all the things that he wants to accomplish. I didn't truly understand why our friendship became the public of the center of everybody's attention when it came to football, because, you know, looking back on it, you know, we haven't been as close as we were a couple years now, but that didn't stop anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we still competed, we still pushed each other, we still led the team. So it was just kind of strange, you know. People just got so fixated on the relationship and wanted to talk about maybe from the history of this place, but you know, that wasn't what this was. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna say it to you. I say it on camera. I got nothing but love for him. You know, I want him to do well and accomplish everything that his heart desires. So, mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, people always just want to know why, and there is an understanding that people grow apart. What is the best way that you can put a description so people can understand?
Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing happened, you know. People just grow apart. Nothing didn't happen between me and him or our families or wives or anything. Nothing like that ever happened, you know. But you know, life happens, you know, and you know, you just look up sometimes and you find yourself drifting away, you know. And that's fine. And I think both parties accepted that. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot to unpack there. You just don't drift apart. Y'all ain't married. Y'all ain't sleeping in the same bed. Y'all not sharing that kind of space. You're probably together at the most on a daily basis, about eight to 10 hours, maybe. So it's not like you can compartmentalize that as a work environment and then go home. So that dog don't hunt, to me, respectfully. Mm-hmm. Second, for you to sit there and say you don't understand why it became public knowledge, because you made it public knowledge. You're the one, like, to be fair to both guys, if you and Jalen had a problem, Jalen didn't tell anybody. You're the one that started to act out publicly. You're the one that started to be disgruntled because of for whatever situation. So don't act like, you know, you're talking about, I don't understand why, you know, everybody was in your business. Hell, you put everybody in your business. I mean, if we're keeping it a bean, when you started acting crazy, well, let me pull that back. When you started acting out and you started doing things like reading books on the sideline and saying all these cryptic things that you said, people started to ask questions about what was wrong. And for you to say it was going on for 2 years, I understand frustration. I understand that. And, you know, whatever it was that drove you, but for you to sit there and say that you don't understand why people were so enamored with it, we've been through this before. I mean, if you know the history of the city, when you see the quarterback and the receiver having issues, you're concerned about it because we want to win Super Bowls. And we saw what happened the last time we went through that same situation. So don't act like, I mean, it's not cool to act like you don't understand where this all of this came from, because you were the catalyst for all of this. You really were.
Well, I think he's also misremembering. He's saying there he doesn't know why Eagles fans were so caught up on their relationship. Does he forget how they presented their relationship to us?
Like they were the love fest.
Best friends. I mean, that video, that the FaceTime, right, when AJ got traded here and him and Jalen are so excited, they showed that to us. That could have been a private moment. They shared that with us, and they wanted us to see it.
You let us in your relationship.
The other thing, and I just looked this up because it was in my head. I was like, I want to make sure I was remembering it correctly. Jalen and him were like going back and forth on Instagram before the Eagles even traded for AJ. And that's kind of out of character for Jalen. Jalen's more of a buttoned-up guy. He's not like, you know, there are a lot of athletes that are just having fun on social media. Jalen doesn't usually do that. So you could tell they were very close. And then it came out after the trade that Jalen was in Howie's ear, saying, go get him. And then the other part I think that we're kind of misremembering is there was a lot of questions on how good Jalen Hurts was entering 2022. And AJ wanting to be here and immediately signing, it gave validation to people who thought Jalen could play. Like, wow, one of the best receivers in the league wants to come here and play with him. And they're best friends. It's not hard to understand why this became a story, AJ. You guys presented yourself as very close. It's part of the reason why the Eagles probably traded for you. And then, Hugh, within time, they were obviously less close, so it's just natural. Like, I'll give you another example. Jalen and Devontae, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played together a long time, back to college. There's never really been stories that they are best friends, but they're obviously friends, right?
And whatever their relationship is, it's their relationship.
Yeah, but like they've never presented as we're best friends. So then if they have a moment where they kind of bark at each other, like, oh, well, they've known each other forever. We don't focus on their relationship because they didn't present it to us that way. I mean, I think AJ is just misreading the way that he presented a relationship one way, and then he's concerned or doesn't understand why we talked about it. I mean, it's pretty clear to me. The other thing that you need to know from this interview, and if you're watching on YouTube, you could see it. You'll be able to, I'll explain it when you hear it. But so AJ Brown, this interview starts about a minute in, and they're in AJ's home. Okay. And I imagine, and I'm just, this is my reckless speculation. Imagine AJ's home's pretty big and pretty nice, right? So they could have picked many rooms to do the interview. Obviously, they picked this room that they chose to do this interview with Maria Taylor. And I am very grateful that Maria noticed this.
Shout out to Maria.
And asked the question, because how do you not ask? So listen to this exchange. Watch it on YouTube. The room they're in, the rug that is in that room caught Maria Taylor's attention.
I have a real question. When did we get this rug right here? Where did this come from?
It came from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely... a few years now.
While you were an Eagle, you had this rug in your house?
Absolutely.
You gotta tell me why.
You know, some things just never change. You know, this is my team. This is my team since I was a kid, so it didn't matter. I mean, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing as an Eagle, but this is it.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
It's a Patriots rug. If you didn't pick it up, it's a Patriots rug. He has a new New England Patriots rug in his house. Had it as an Eagle. Great job, Maya Marie, on the follow-up. Because he said years, he was kind of vague. And she was like, wait, like you mean like while you were an Eagle you had this? Yeah. Hugh?
That's a lot. That and the immediate posting of the kid in the Tom Brady jersey.
Yeah.
That had me. That threw me for
more reckless speculation about that, by the way.
It threw me for a loop. But it was more, I was with the fans. Like, I'm still riding with the fans. But then it became, like, because I sat there for a while after I saw it, and I was like, wow, because I'm sitting in the
It's a joke. Like, when you, I remember like, back wow. In February when you said, like, why was I so animated about this?
No, I get it.
When Saquon said he still is a Patriots fan.
I tried to be fan balanced because I always want to try to understand a person's why. I try to do that, right? But when you immediately get traded from here and you immediately put the jersey up, I understand that's something that you've wanted your whole life. That's when I came to the conclusion. I'm like, you know what? there are just certain things, no matter how you try to slice that piece of pie, you're just not going to understand. This is one of them.
No, I understand this. It's ridiculous.
It's a joke.
So let me just say this. I understand.
Joke.
A.J. Brown, I think he's from Mississippi, right? And the Patriots were great when he was a kid. I don't care that he was a Patriots fan. Like, but he's a kid, right? That you just root for when you're a child. He has been a professional athlete for 7 or 8 years and on his second pro team. I have never heard of a professional athlete that much still in love with their team from when they were a child. It's preposterous.
In the sport you play.
Of course, right? Right.
If Harper's a Cowboys fan, he has a Cowboys man cave.
No,
you know,
that's different.
It's annoying, but I'll get over it.
Different.
But if Bryce has a Yankees man cave, and then he gets traded to the Yankees, he's like, this is my team. I'm like, screw you.
The minute that the Phillies gave Bryce Harper $330 million, he's a Philly.
Yeah.
He's got to be a Philly. Yeah. The Eagles paid Brown twice, as an Eagle.
It's part of what made me feel like a chump earlier this offseason when he's on the Reigning Men podcast.
Dudes on
winking
dudes.
Winking at
whatever,
dudes
yeah.
about being a Patriot. It's like Edelman, Gronk, AJ, the Pats, they're all pointing and cackling at me. You chump. Well, he's been a Pat this whole time.
Will you finally admit?
You rented him.
It's just annoying. This is annoying.
I admitted it was annoying when we first started the show.
But you didn't know. Well, no. The Patriots part is ridiculous.
I admitted it was annoying when we started the show, but I said I tried to understand it.
That's your problem. There's no understanding it. It's just saying.
Wait a minute.
It's annoying.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Well,
you tried too hard to see the good. This is just bad.
I've told you, stop trying to see the good in everybody.
It's annoying.
Not,
not so much the good. It's just that I'm like, I'm trying to see how you think the way that you think. Yeah. Because
stop doing that.
You want a Super Bowl here. You want a Super Bowl here. I wasn't here when he got here, but it felt like you were rescued. It felt like when you came here, you were rescued.
Yeah, save them from the Titans.
Yeah, yep. And you had tremendous amount of success, and you even said to yourself that being here felt like no other place you've been. Well, you've only been to Tennessee, but it was different. It was different. And to have this love and to post the jersey, you and the Tom Brady jersey, I'm just like, wow.
Well, you know what? Now it reminds me of the whole every time you go, Philly's my home and Philly's my city and stuff. Well, that tells me you were lying.
Well, or maybe he felt at home, but it wasn't his team. His team is the Patriots.
Yeah. Just either way, it's half in, half out. Like, if freaking Douglas, while he was an Eagle, had a Browns man cave in his basement.
It would have been weird, right?
I was a Browns fan.
I know.
But I'm not, and I've stated that, but I don't. Only thing I had,
that's when you were a kid.
You wouldn't know it from talking to you, and that's a credit to
I got
became an Eagle.
Like, yesterday, when we were at the golf tournament, Michael Dean Perry was there. Yeah. And I was excited about seeing
Michael Dean Perry.
He was one of the original members of the Dog Pound.
Yeah, but that's cool.
Only thing I have Browns is a T-shirt.
Because you became an Eagle.
That's right.
AJ Brown became an Eagle.
T-shirt.
I was giving you credit.
I'm saying, and if I had the opportunity to get a Webster Slaughter jersey or a Myles Garrett signed helmet, I would. That would probably be the extent of it.
Sure, and you know what? Even if you did that now, I don't think anyone would care. But while you played
while
for the
I'm
Eagles
playing,
and making Pro Bowls for the Eagles, would you have a man cave decked out in Brown stuff?
That makes no sense.
Your Douglas Brown's man.
Also, hold on.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
he wanted her to ask that question. We all know this, right?
Well,
of all the rooms in his house, they choose the one with the Patriots rug.
Yeah, I want to go here.
Oh, my goodness. It's a joke. 215-592-9494.
I get why people are upset, though.
Well,
I do get what
that is. That one just feels ridiculous. All right, your phone calls on all this, your reaction to the AJ
thing.
Feel
like a chump.
That's chump activity. That is. All right. Well, also, I mean, I'm not going to call Hugh a chump, but he took a big L yesterday.
How did I take an L?
Well, you held the line.
You have to ask how
you took an L.
The Eagles did not want to trade him.
Well,
I don't feel like I took an L.
Well,
it just happened.
Hold on, that was not the discussion.
No, I know it wasn't the discussion. They didn't want to trade him, and that was where my conviction came from. Because
I think
they didn't
want to trade him.
They didn't want to trade him, but it just became one of those situations where you had no other choice.
I think they were probably more comfortable than we think they were. If they really didn't want to trade him, they would have tried to make it work.
Well, they did try to make it work. Like this
last year, not this offseason.
That's when it became, because we're talking about something, Joe. It's fair to say that this has been festering, I would say, for at least for 3 years.
So there was another report yesterday that backed up the original Joe Sanlaquito report.
They requested a trade after week three.
Yeah, week three or four, right? They're undefeated.
Yep.
I mean, that, like, if I'm Howie and Jeff, I'm like, how long can we keep doing this? All we do is win. Like, at that point, hadn't they won, like, 20 out of 21 games, and he didn't want to be here? Well, it doesn't matter.
It adds up with the conversation he had to have with Lurie.
Yes.
Where he pulled him to the side. I'm sure part of that was just like, let's just play this out. Let's
get through
go,
this
and
season.
Then we'll, yeah.
Yeah. And to be fair, because I think part of me felt like they should have just traded him during the season. They didn't have ready replacements. Right? Now they have some replacements.
And I think part of this is me recklessly speculating that they're trying to figure out, like, you're trying to figure out what the problem is. Because
change variables around.
Yes. Because you're looking at it like, we've been through this before, the receiver and the quarterback. And we're trying to figure out, how can we make this situation better? That's what it sounds like. When you hear what Brandon said, that tells you everything. Now, how we got to that point, we don't know. But when Brandon said one is trying.
11 has to.
11 has to try harder. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a minute, folks. Whatever it was, one was trying to get past it. He was trying to move forward. 11 couldn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only a few things in life that you can't move forward from.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it helped that the on-field chemistry went the wrong way. Like,
yeah.
If AJ was still averaging 130 yards a game, maybe they would have got over whatever happened between them off the field. But I think the combination of the two was just too much. All right, J-Dog in Douglasville, he famously had a call to our show a few months ago where him and Hugh were going back and forth about holding the line. So my guess is J-Dog's going to touch on that today. J-Dog?
Hey, guys. Joe, Kyle, Hugh, how you guys doing?
J-Dog, what's going on?
Not too much. Appreciate you guys taking my call. Appreciate
it. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling different stuff going on right now. A couple thoughts. You know, it's just like Hugh said, you know, it's definitely a bittersweet morning. It really is. I mean, I guess in one way the saga's over, but, you know, I guess the repercussions are still going to be there. We're still going to hear about AJ, you know, probably through the whole season. But, you know, at least the saga's over. You know, we can move on, you know, finally. But, you know, just a couple things. I'm not really sure how I would remember this guy. I mean, I was like his biggest fan. You know, I kept saying for a year and a half, we need a number one, need a number one, need a number one. And then we finally got AJ, and I was just ecstatic. I knew we had our incredible number one. So I remember him, obviously, winning us a Super Bowl, and I'm very thankful for that. Obviously, we all are. But then in my other side of my mind, I remember him, you know, with the drama and all the things and the miscatches, and especially the playoff game, how he came there, and he just quit. He quit on himself. He quit on Philadelphia. He quit on the fans. And just remembering Sirianni running out on the field, and it wasn't because he wasn't getting off the field. It was because he was like everyone. We were just so angry. And so I just see both these sides in my head. I don't know how I'm going to remember him. I mean, I really don't. Just like, just can't believe, because I never really thought that AJ really had that in him. I didn't think he was like that type of player. He would just quit. I mean, and I just think that it didn't have to go down like this. It did not have to go down.
Yeah, J-Dog, it didn't. Like, and that playoff game, it the last impression really hits with people, right? And that's the last time we saw him in an Eagles uniform. And it just felt like he didn't give his full effort. I remember we had Jason Avant in the studio, J-Dog, that, you know, right after that game, a couple of days later. And he talked about when he watched the film, it wasn't just the drop passes. It was that he wasn't really given effort on the running plays to block. And that, like, he saw it on the tape, and that to me is just unacceptable. Right. Like, I know you're frustrated, but you can't quit on your team. Right. You just can't in a playoff game.
No, you can't. You're you know, you're a person that plays sports. I played sports. I never played professional, but I mean, I don't know, like, how Hugh. I mean, you know, you're there, you know, to play a game, and you're being paid some serious money to play that game. I mean, I know. I mean, I'm trying to see it from AJ's side a bit. I mean, a little bit. I mean, I get it. You know, you had your childhood dream. You wanted to be a Patriots. Okay, that's all good. But it didn't have to go down like that. I mean, like you said, perfect storm, I agree. It was Kevin Petola. It was Jalen Hurts. Jalen probably said, look, in the huddle, look, I know you don't want this play, but, you know, but just
dude, this is the play was called. That's what we have to do. We have to do what this play was called. You know, he was probably telling him stuff like that, and you know, he's probably thinking, you know, taking it personal. But no, it's a game that we have to play. We all have leaders that are above us, and he, you know, went crazy and stirred it mentally. You know, getting into things that really wasn't even there, and you know, but it just did not have to go down. It's just a shame how it went down. It really is. But I don't know where I'm going to stand as far as on, you know, like. Again, it's bittersweet. You know,
well, it's hard. There's the good and the, I mean, J-Dog, I get it, man. A good phone call. I mean, Hugh, I think people are struggling today because...
Yeah,
because
it's tough.
Yeah, there's the annoying at the end, but yes. There also was a lot of really good play.
Yeah, it was. And we are struggling with why us? Why you don't want to be with us? Because we're great. I mean, and it's okay. I mean, to think that way.
I don't think it was about the Eagles organization, though, or about the city of Philadelphia.
No, but that's how people... see it, yeah. Because it's like, it's a great place to be, man. It really, really is. I mean, you talk about a great fan base, a great area, and you know, it's one of those things. And you have success here. You're not paying for meals here. You're not doing too much paying for meals around here, especially if you're a guy like AJ Brown and you won the Super Bowl.
Well, you're right. I also think that, and I said this yesterday, and I truly believe there's a part of this that's uncomfortable for people that really believe in the quarterback. Right, because this is the best receiver on the team for the last 4 years telling you he doesn't believe in the quarterback. Like, you might, but he doesn't, not to the extent that you do.
Yeah.
So that I think that hits people in a way that's like, oh, man. You know, if you're a big Jalen Hurts fan, A.J. Brown is basically telling you he's not as good as you think he is. Because that's a major part of this, that he thought he could have done more and should have done more. If not for the quarterback, 215-592-9494. All your phone calls today on A.J. Brown, the trade, out of here. Your emotions today. What are you feeling the most as we say goodbye to A.J. Brown? He is now a member of the New England Patriots. By the way, he's there already, up in New England.
He's taking pictures and everything.
Yeah, he's probably going to get his physical, maybe do a press conference where he'll cry, which I fully anticipate he will, have tears in his eyes. All right, coming back on the other side, we got all your phone calls on A.J., where you come down on this. Plus, we got to get more into the massive news from yesterday, the other NFL massive news, how it affects the Eagles, and the potential extent of the Eagles' involvement of it. Myles Garrett to the Rams, how it affects everything. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Move the line. Move the line.
Paint over the line.
Move the line.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Apologize for the line. All right.
No, I ain't apologizing.
Well, just wait till tomorrow because we might be demanding one as a show. All right, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. All your phone calls coming up here on A.J. Brown, the emotion you have today, and really what you're going to remember more, the success the Eagles had, that he had the 4 years here, or is it the end, which was bumpy and rocky and annoying and... you know, Dudes on Dudes podcast.
Dudes
and
on Dudes.
Training men podcast.
Yeah, whatever. Trade requests and a whole bunch of nonsense. And you know, Hugh didn't help the last 4 months with Hold the Line. I mean, you didn't help anything.
Oh, I would say he actively hurt it.
You made it
I mean,
worse.
You did damage. You did damage. Because
conviction.
You poisoned the minds of all these people.
I had conviction, and I was unwavering in my belief.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was believing. I mean, yes. You know, if you don't have belief, what do you have?
Well, you have nothing.
Logic.
I was unwavering in my belief, and I stand by that 10 toes down.
Yeah, well, unwavering. That's the problem.
I'm proud of myself for holding the line as long as I can.
I can believe that there's fairies exist and they're in your studio
so
right now.
I am so proud of myself.
You shouldn't be. But that's the problem.
Line,
all right.
Even though Kenny flamed me.
Well, everyone. Kenny's just saying what we're all thinking.
Dad cry. He cooked me like a burger.
It really hit when he said it's like walking into your dad crying.
Your pops cry. Yep. Like, what's wrong, Dad? Damn,
all right.
Kenny.
Before we get back to the phone. So yesterday, the A.J. Brown trade wasn't the biggest trade in the NFL. Like, for it was for us. It really wasn't, though. The biggest trade in the NFL yesterday broke during our show, Hugh. And that, of course, was Myles Garrett to the Los Angeles Rams. Jared Verse, a first-round pick, a second, a third, all going back to Cleveland. The Rams were already the Super Bowl favorite. They become even bigger Super Bowl favorite. What a tremendous roster they have now, adding Myles Garrett to it. But, you know, the details of how it ended up with Jared Verse and those picks, it, you know, you kind of think whatever teams were involved, how involved were the Eagles? Should they have been more involved? Let's hear Ian Rapoport on NFL Network yesterday talking about the Myles Garrett situation and how he ended up with the Rams. Right, well, that's what stuck out there is that the Rams kept going back, right? They tried, and the Browns said, nah. And they kept coming back to the table. So, Hugh, the obvious question is, should the Eagles have been more aggressive on this? And should they have been the team to at least match similar to what the Rams were offering or beat it? I mean, because this wasn't a matter of the way it was reported. There was not the Browns calling teams and saying, we're ready to move Myles Garrett, take him. It was that the Rams just kept calling and to the point where the Browns said, all right, maybe we got to do this. This is good for our team. Hugh, should the Eagles have been more aggressive?
Should they to try to get Miles? It all depends, Joe, because I'm wondering what the Eagles, like, the packages are different. It's obvious that, you know, Jared Verse, and speaking of Jared Verse, waking up in L.A. and then hearing that you got to go to Cleveland.
Santa Monica to Erie.
It's a tough day.
No, I'm from Ohio. Yeah. I'm from Ohio. And I've been to L.A. L.A. is beautiful. Like, I'm
what
just
about
imagining.
Cleveland? Is it as beautiful, Cleveland?
You know what they call Cleveland?
What?
The mistake on the lake. No, I love. Hey, listen, I can say that. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
But that's what they say. To wake up in sunny California and somebody tell you, you know they didn't let him back in the building because he probably wanted to punch somebody. Whoever traded him, he wanted to punch him.
Well, a contender to literally the Browns.
Yeah, and it's that has to be tough. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, how much were you giving up? And this is after we already got the young man from Minnesota. We already got him, so
Grenard. Yeah.
Yeah, Grenard. So I don't know how realistic it would have been for the Eagles because now you got two expensive defensive linemen.
Well, so but
and you still got some young guys you gotta pay.
Very fair to say. And I think once Grenard got here, the Eagles doing it yesterday seems probably hard to imagine. But this stuff did start around the draft, and it started during free agency. So, because, you know, Ian Rapoport's saying when they moved that money back in March is when the Rams started calling. Mm-hmm. The Eagles could have called before they put the stuff in motion for Grenard. I'll ask you it this way. If you were the Eagles, would you have matched the offer? I think the piece we have here that would be most comparable to Jared Verse in terms of age, in terms of potential future star power, was Jalen Carter. If you were Howie, would you have offered Carter a 1, a 2, and a 3? Because that's what the Rams offered, right? They offered and gave
a 1, a 2, and a 3.
Verse, a 1, a 2, and a 3. Would you have done it?
I probably would have gave him people, personnel. I'd have gave him probably my 1, and maybe I'd have threw, who was it we talking, Nolan Smith?
Not going to get it done.
Yeah. That's a lot to give up.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. But the Rams, here's the thing with the Rams. This is like in their wheelhouse.
Yes.
As far as the, since their coach has been there. McVay, they've been aggressive about making moves like this. And to be honest, it's paid off for them huge. When you talk about the from the time that Goff was there to losing all those first round draft picks.
To Stafford, yeah.
And looking like to be honest, let's be honest. It looked like they are going to be tough to stop as far as making it to the Super Bowl.
You know, I had a wild thought last night. Tell me if you guys think I am crazy on this. I think the Rams could go undefeated next season, or at least make a push to go like 15-2, 16-1. I look at that team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that division is. I know that division is tough. To me, they're the most loaded roster I've seen since the 07 Patriots. There's Hall of Famers all over that team, and obviously a great coach. So, I mean, they're obviously all in to win, and you're right, Hugh. They've done a good job with this. So yesterday we talked about it when the news broke, and we talked about would we have offered Jalen Carter. So ultimately, I would trade Carter for Myles Garrett. I'd rather have Myles Garrett. That being said, I thought about it more last night. It's the picks for me. The Rams don't have to worry about the future of quarterback or the present, right? They have Matthew Stafford into Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
If I was Howie and the Browns came back and said, if you give us Carter and the picks, we'll take him over Verse in the picks. You could have him. Hugh, I would have had trouble if I was Howie giving up all the picks because I'm unsure about Jalen Hurts. I've got to be consistent on this. I'm unsure about the future of Jalen Hurts. And Hugh, if you trade away all those picks, you're going to have a hard time getting a new quarterback if you need a new quarterback.
Yeah. And that's, I think the Eagles want to be in a position where they don't want to overextend themselves.
Yes.
Now, when you look at the Rams, they're in a great spot, but they're overextended.
Well, are they?
Well, because you got Matt Stafford a ton of bread.
But they did get their next quarterback.
They got him, but okay, Matt Stafford gave you 2 more years. But it's safe to say or recklessly speculate that when Matt Stafford is going there, probably is going to be a little bit of a fall off for the Rams.
Maybe.
I don't know. Do they view it that way? If they're giving Ty Simpson 2 years
of
runway?
I think when you talk about what the Rams have done over the last couple of years, because they've been in the playoff picture for the last couple of years, that they look at it like, hey, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Because we're going to be aggressive.
Well, they did that in 21.
They are the evil empire of the NFL. Like, when you talk about in baseball, some teams that aggressively pursue guys, That's been the Rams.
I'm with you. Like, I remember when we won the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, we were talking about the Eagles dynasty team of the 2020s. But the Rams might actually be that team.
Well, they could be. They have won. If they get back to the Super Bowl and win, I mean, that's two, and that would match the Chiefs and the Eagles, mm-hmm. right? Or the Chiefs could have three. I guess, do the Chiefs have three in this decade or just two? Just two. Two.
20. They won in 19, well, lost in 20.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, and then they have the back-to-backs there in between. Yeah. Kyle, would you have done it? Would you have, if the Browns came back and said, we like Carter, you give us the same deal as the Rams, Carter, a one, a two, and a three, you have him?
You know, I don't think so. And that probably, I think that says more about how I viewed this year's team.
Right, like not ready to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and also like the Carter thing I think would have to be a part. Like the whole reason I was excited about Garrett is pairing him with Carter.
Yes.
We wouldn't allow a yard.
No, and yes, they would have needed to give up Carter to have a realistic shot. Ultimately, for me, the biggest thing would have been, two things. One, the Rams look like they're more all in to win the Super Bowl this year than the Eagles. And the second thing is, I wouldn't have given up the picks because I'm unsure about the quarterback. 215-592-9494. Should the Eagles have done this? Should the Eagles have beat the Rams offer for Garrett? But man, it would have been fun watching Myles Garrett here. I mean,
oh, no question about that.
So no I question. Wonder, there was Ryan Feller put out he tweeted that the Eagles' talks with the Browns were more than exploratory.
Yes.
Now, Rappaport made it seem like it was just the Rams the whole time. But, like, just connecting dots in my head here. We don't know who, like, I guess in this report, sorry, I'll backtrack. Jalen Carter's name arose in the conversation.
That's from Ryan Fowler, yeah.
But no framework ever went around him. But I don't think we ever got clarity from anybody, reputable at least, who said whether or not it was the Eagles who offered Carter or if it was the Browns that asked for Carter. Now, Rappaport's cut there is that the Rams have had to keep going back and offering more.
Yes, they had to keep upping the ante.
Oh, that makes me wonder if the Eagles did offer Carter and the Browns chose the verse package.
It could have been.
I mean, verse has had a better career than Jalen Carter so far.
Yes, he has. He's been more consistently good in his first 2 years. Yeah. Carter's been more up and down his first three.
And he's a year shorter on his contract.
And also, there's not stuff off the field you're kind of concerned about with Jared Verse. The other thing I wonder about, Hugh, with this whole thing, because we've always heard the Eagles want, you know, interested in Myles Garrett and all that kind of stuff. Hugh, I wonder if this is why they did not extend Jalen Carter's contract yet, that they were waiting to see, all right,
how this is going to play out.
Can we actually get Garrett, and would we ship him out in it? And now that that ship has sailed, I wonder if in the next couple months, especially now, Hugh, that they saved this money from trading AJ, I wonder if we're going to get news on a Jalen Carter extension. Like, we want to keep you here, Jalen Carter. We love you. We don't love you as much as Myles Garrett, but if we can't get Myles Garrett, all right, here's your money. I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that. And you're talking about, you know, now since all of this hoopla is down, you got to try to start to figure out how you're going to keep some of these young players.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I can see that. Because there was a lot of talk before when Jordan Davis signed. Like, a lot of people felt that Jalen Carter's deal was right around the corner, mm-hmm. and that wasn't the case.
I think it says more about Jalen than we're thinking it does, too. I mean, if they felt they were secure at quarterback, I think they're more likely to give up a lot of picks.
Well, you know what else I'm wondering about? Like, because I guess I've been in this camp, but I'm even more there now. I'm going to need to see the Jalen Carter extension before I believe it.
Well, in theory, it should come soon, right? They just saved cash on the AJ deal.
Yep.
And there's no more. Like, in the last two summers, Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett have found new homes, right? So they're not available. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if there's going to be an edge or a great defensive young player that's just available for a trade again for a while. The Eagles obviously tried for Parsons. They tried for Garrett. Now it would seem like it's the time to just pay Jalen Carter. And if they don't, what does it say?
There's just not something. Something's not adding up for me. Paying Jordan Davis, the Grenard, you know, I don't know the timeline. But the fact that they keep their name is involved in all of these discussions for a huge money pass rusher. Guys, there's no way they're going to be able to pay him, whether it's Garrett, now it was gone, a Max Crosby type. Like, one of those guys, there's no way they're going to be able to pay him and Jalen Carter and then Quinion and Cooper. Like, it's just not reasonable.
I think the simplest way I can explain how I think the Garrett thing is, I think the Eagles are unsure about both Jalens. I think they're unsure about both, and they're hedging bets on both. They're unsure about Jalen Carter. That's why they haven't paid him, and maybe they would have swapped him out for Garrett. And I think they're unsure about Jalen Hurts, and it's why they didn't beat this offer, because that would have included probably a ton of picks to go along with Jalen Carter. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. A.J. Brown, your emotion today. You can react to the Myles Garrett thing, and would you have done it if you were Howie? Would you have tried to beat the Rams offer and gotten Miles Garrett here in Philadelphia. Aaron in San Diego is up on WIP. Aaron?
How do I say goodbye?
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hugh Douglas.
Hey.
Very fitting that you're wearing the Metallica t-shirt today. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Metallica had a record called Masters of Puppets. And you, my friend, have been the master of all the Hold the Line puppets out there for quite some time.
Because we have conviction.
You're very well, it was very impressive that, you know, you led these puppets down to that Hold the Line cliff. And then, you know, as your puppets were jumping off the cliff with blind faith, you know, the clock struck midnight, the sky marshal spoke, and you turned into a pumpkin and completely changed your trajectory on the A.J. Brown subject. So, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. Joe Gilliam?
Before you go on, he let the people down. I mean, that's what happened on Thursday. He let the people down. Because they were looking for you to guide them all the way to the end, and you jumped off the ship.
You know when the end came?
You know what it was?
You know when
the Titanic,
end came.
The water was going into the Titanic, and you took the first life raft out.
Do you know when the end came? The end came when Jalen Hurts sat there and said what he said. Now, if somebody else didn't realize that, and I told him it was over,
wow.
Then what? No,
wow.
I'm just saying, what was it? What was that?
Wow. So,
what do you always say? When we get new information, we could change our take?
We had the information
no,
on this
didn't.
Months
no,
ago.
We didn't.
Yes,
no,
we did. All right, you know when it was over? Guys, it was over the... I'll tell you when
over
I knew.
Over the minute Jalen spoke.
No, it was over the minute A.J. Brown's agent went to the combine and was talking to teams about a trade. It was over.
Or when he requested a trade after week three.
I mean, guys. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, here's the one thing I will promise to all the Jalenites out there. I will hold the line on the Sky Marshal until it is done and over with. I promise you that. Now, this whole A.J. Brown saga, I'm going to stick to looking at the positives, but the last couple years has been filled with nothing but cliches. You know, friends and business don't mix, but the biggest one, we've all heard it too, regardless of what level of competition that you've played in as an athlete, sports is 80% mental and 20% physical. And A.J. Brown is the shining example of this. I mean, you can have all the talent in the world, but when you are mentally checked out and you are not 100% locked in, you're not going to run your routes right. Your effort level is not going to be the same level. Your hustle, your approach to practice, it's not going to be the same. And it's been a shining example in 2025. And Joe, yet again, you got to take a shot at the Sky Marshal with your, well, maybe it's Jalen Hurts's play that has caused AJ to lose his focus and everything like that.
Well, you don't think that's part of this, that the Jalen hasn't played as well and he doesn't get the ball as much?
The contention and the question I would fire back at you is maybe the Jalen Hurts' performance has been affected by the distraction known as A.J. Brown. And you know, Urban
I think
Fryer
that's
said
Aaron, I think that's
I
fair. I think it's fair. I think what you're saying is fair. I think it's like they're both the same problem together. I think what you're saying is fair. I do think Jalen has probably at times couldn't play free the way he wants to because of AJ. I think you're right on that. I agree.
Well, and you know, Urban Fryer and Ike Reese said it yesterday. There is no I in team. There is no you in team. You know, and that is what I am so positive on and I am so looking forward to is 2026. We have a distraction gone. We can focus on the team and the team's success. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Sky Marshal, Quadzilla, the Monsters of Broad Street, the new young gun wide receiving corps. Oh. We are going to the Super Bowl, baby. E-A-G-L-E-S.
Wait a minute now. Now you're getting cranked up.
He did get cranked up there. Fully cranked up, Aaron in San Diego. I mean, how could it not be part of it that Jalen didn't play as great the last couple of years and A.J. wasn't as happy? I mean, isn't that part of what happened here?
Yeah, but that's copium. Nobody wants to talk about that because now, like, for a lot of people, the problem is gone. and we can move forward and win football games. That's how most people are thinking about it.
I think that's a fair way to think about it. But is it also fair to say that the guy that left thinks the problem is still here?
I mean, you know what the beautiful part about this whole scenario?
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. Because we're going to find out, was it the chicken or the egg? Because A.J. is with a quarterback that he deems or he feels is going to get him the football, you know. And now we have an offense where, you know, Jalen can think more and he can be comfortable.
And be free.
Yeah. And that we all knew that this was going to happen if this trade went down. And now it went down. So on our side, we hope that Coach Mannion is going to get everybody on the same page and we're going to have a successful team. Because I tell you what, it's going to be a lot of weeks where people are going to be calling in when the Patriots play. But hey, you see, either you see how AJ played, whether that's going to be good or bad, he's going to be a topic of conversation in the season.
Well, you know what the season opening game is, right? Wednesday, September 8th, whatever the date is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Patriots at the Seahawks.
Oh,
AJ
yeah.
Brown starts the season. That's the first NFL game of the year. We're going to watch AJ Brown play.
Well, it starts with joint practice.
Well, personally. It does up in New England. I can't wait.
You might have to put that in the notebook.
It is.
It starts with joint practice.
Well, now it is. I got to put it in. I got to update the notebook because it did say hold the line.
Oh, no. Oh. In big, bold letters?
Now,
are you going to cross it out or erase it?
Now it says, no, I'm just going to change it.
Hold the line?
I'm going to change the H and the L and the V.
Just rip the page out.
And then I'm
there's plenty other pieces of paper in there.
You could just switch the O to an A and hold the line.
And I'm putting in the M.
You're going to not even be able to read your own scribble.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Just get a new notebook. Burn that one.
Move the line.
Burn it. All right, Lamar. Lamar is at Philly. Hey, Lamar.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Good, Lamar. What's up?
Oh, man. I'm always good until Joe just goes off the deep end, man.
What'd I do now?
I mean, Joe, how do you get to the part where the Rams might go undefeated? Kyle could name one. Other than Myles Garrett,
Can I name more Rams defenders?
Name me a Pro Bowler other than Verse.
Trent McDuffie, who they just traded for? Trent McDuffie, the all-pro corner they just traded for.
They got a good new tackle,
break.
Too.
Give me a break.
Trent
McDuffie's one of the best corners in the league. What are you talking about?
Hey, Joe, give me a break, Joe. If McDuffie was so good, Andy would have been so quick to ship him out. Obviously, he's replaceable.
They also traded Tyreek Hill.
Andy shipped him out. Yeah.
They traded Tyreek Hill, and he had like 2,000 yards.
Hold on. We're not talking about if the Chiefs are going to be okay without Trent McDuffie. I'm sure they will. But, like, Trent McDuffie's a really good player. What are you talking about?
Joe, that'll make you 16-0. You've got to have more than Trent McDuffie,
Lamar,
don't you?
Hold on. Time out. Last year, they went 14-6. They lost six games, all of them either on blocked kicks like here in Philadelphia, or they lost by a field goal or 4 points in basically every other loss they had. They have the number one offense of pro football, and they just added the best pass rusher and a Pro Bowl corner. I don't think it's crazy to think they're going to win 14 or 15 or 16 games. They're going to be the best team by a mile.
I can tell you right now, Joe, they'll probably split their whole division. But even I want to get into my jealous point.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's get on to the A.J. Brown thing. I mean, as much as you guys kill Jalen, the stats don't lie, Joe. Regardless of what the last couple seasons look like in 4 years, and he had two bad years. The last 2 years weren't great. But he's still number seven over the last 4 years in receiving. So, again, at the end of the day, if he had two bad years and still seventh behind Ja'Marr Chase and a couple great receivers, I don't understand what the guy's problem was. I don't get it. You won more than any of them. You think Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson wouldn't want to be A.J. Brown? They only got a couple thousand yards, if 1,000 yards at max, more than them over the four-year span, and they won nothing.
Lamar, I agree with you. But obviously it wasn't enough for him. I don't know what to tell you. It seems like it should be enough. Lamar, I don't disagree with your point. Like, what you're right. I mean, his time here, Lamar Goodfunkel, his time here – by almost any metric, was awesome, right? Like all these catches, all these yards, two Super Bowl trips. But he wasn't happy. I mean,
for whatever reason.
Yeah, like if you're trying to make me understand, I'm with you. Like you would think what happened here, he'd be happy. He wasn't. He didn't want to be here. 215-592-9494. We're going to hear from some insiders on what the perception of Brown is both around the league to other teams and within the Eagles locker room. That's up next. Your phone calls on all this. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.